Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, if you're watching TV, especially in company, is it rude to double screen? Is there an etiquette, in fact, to how we should watch television? Apart from presenting News Talk Screen Time, John Fardy is also a man of impeccable manners, but he's here to wave his judgy fingers at you. Good afternoon, John.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
I'm not bad. Can you explain what's the deal with subtitles? Now, I you know, like everyone else, I've subscriptions to a few streaming services that people who are related to me, let's say, who don't even live in my house, claim they don't use. But every time I return it on again, they put up subtitles. That's just a device for not paying attention to what's on the screen.
Well, you see, when you say subtitles, like, I assume you meant, oh, this movie's in Italian and I don't speak Italian. No, you're actually talking about people being too lazy or wanting to eat louder than the stuff that's in front of them. So they're going to turn on subtitles. To me, this may be the nadir of TV watching, and if not Western civilization. Like, I find that completely bizarre that people turn on subtitles for an English language movie and they are English language native speakers. I really was shocked when I came across this phenomenon, but apparently it's on the rise. But to me, that is an utter no-no, because, you know, if you're sitting down to watch a TV show or a movie, surely quietness and all those things are, you know, are sacrosanct, as opposed to, well, I'm going to have to put on subtitles here because I'm planning on opening a packet of Pringles and I had my back molar out and I need to, like, I'm baffled. So I'm going to sound like old man shouts at clouds, but to me, that is the end is nigh if that's what people are doing.
But given it's such a widespread phenomenon, John, is there perhaps a temptation on the part of the people people making shows for streamers to edit them and package them in such a way that, you know, you only have to look at the occasional key scene for 30 seconds? Or is that maybe why they're sticking so much sex into everything on Netflix, to try and make people pay attention?
Well, this is a worrying development. I don't mean the sex, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of that, but I mean the
idea. So I believe.
Anyway, no, but there is this growing trend. And again, it's like, all joking aside, very worrisome development that there are these reiterations of plots by characters, particularly in streaming movies. And people say Netflix, but it's not just Netflix, wherein you'll be watching something and about 40 minutes in, a character starts to kind of sum up to another character where we are in the drama that we're watching. Because they think people are so bored or have paid so little attention because they've been fiddling with subtitles or their phone. And yet there is a theory that there is more sex in things now for that very reason. And again, I hear myself sounding like old man shouting at cloud, but I just think it's a really worrisome thing. And in a way, not to go off topic, but that's why there's something great about the cinema, because you can't pause it. Should you choose to stop watching, you know, that's your choice, but the movie will play without you, and so say all of us, you know?
Yeah. Now, at the same time, and it's probably the province more of older people, but who's he now? Or look at that. Look at that. Look at the couch they're sitting on. That's lovely. Is that a no-no for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as much as possible. Now, I'm not great at it either, and I tend to watch a lot of the stuff I have to watch for work with my wife, and she would say I do more of that than she does. But my idea is one should be as quiet as possible when you're watching something. And that includes talking to the other people around you. And that might make me sound like, you know, something unpleasant, but that's the way it is. And actually, not to overshare with you, but I think the first time I ever went to the cinema with my wife, she was very surprised by how little I wanted to talk during the movie. But we went the distance. But yeah, the least talking, the better. I think of myself as a nice person, but as I'm talking to you, I can see how I sound really curmudgeonly. But I'm just mystified by, to me, the magic of TV and cinema is, you know, forgetting everything and abandoning yourself to these imagined realities in front of you. So why would you want to talk? Why would you want to be on your phone? And the second screening thing you mentioned, Like, I can't fathom that. Like, if you take something a lot of people watch in real time, like the Tommy Tiernan show, for instance, or the Late Late Show, but particularly the Tommy Tiernan show, and, you know, there's this whole other conversation, and I think it's a great show, by the way, but there's this whole other conversation that goes on online about what's happening. And again, I just, you know, it baffles me. Watch it. Like, have your water cooler moment afterwards, but actually during it saying, oh, I'm not sure this is a great guest on the Tommy Tiernan show. Again, I just find incredibly bizarre.
Yeah, it is strange. Now, in your house then, John, and this is probably a key thing among many couples around the country.
Yeah.
Do you have a process or a set of protocols in terms of agreeing what you're going to watch?
Yeah. So obviously I'm slightly different that I have to watch a lot of stuff for work, but I think it still holds true. We do. And I think a lot of people will relate to this. Anyone in any kind of relationship, if you have someone in your life you regularly watch things with, the sacrosanct rule to me is do not skip ahead. You cannot be on a day off work and decide, you know what, I'm going to watch episode 5 of Rooster, which is a brilliant show, by the way. That's what I mentioned with Steve Carell that people are loving. But if you skip ahead, because let's not forget, most decent TV shows now have kind of overarching stories that, you know, you need to see episode 1 before you can watch episode 2. So the idea that, you know, I have a day off work or you are home late or whatever, I'm going to watch episode 5 and then you catch up and we'll watch episode 6 tonight. I mean, that is seriously bad. This will not stand, to quote the great Lebowski.
That's betrayal, really.
Yeah, it really is. And that's high up on the list of betrayals.
Yeah. Now, just going back to the subtitles thing, let me just read you out one text in. There's a fair few texts saying something similar. The sound mix is so terrible now that you need subtitles to know what the characters are saying.
I mean, I remember watching The Wire and feeling, God, I would like subtitles in this, because they purposely made it very indistinct at times to ape the idea of, you know, drug dens in Baltimore, which are apparently quite indistinct places, as you might imagine. But, you know, I don't buy that. And I watch a lot of stuff. I don't think the sound mix, I think the sound mixing has gotten better in lots of ways in TV shows and movies. So, no, I don't think that's any excuse. Sorry.
Yeah, no, actually, yeah, the first 20 minutes of The Wire, of the very first episode, and, you know, it sets up they're sitting outside on that couch, and but it's the accents that are so thick, you can't really understand it. But then your ear does attune to them after a while, and you start to understand what they're saying. What happens, John, in your house, if the two of you agree, right, we're going to watch show X, now, you may have to watch it for work anyway, but if your better half says, this isn't for me, is that okay? Can you abandon it, or is one of you allowed to peel off and watch it by themselves?
Yeah, I've had to allow my wife to leave the couch on occasion, as weird as that sounds, or go somewhere else, because sometimes I do have to finish these things for work. Because you know me, Sean, I'd never review something not having seen it in its entirety. But yes, I think that's okay. Like, if someone, there's a thing on Netflix at the moment called Something Very Bad Is Going to Happen. Mm. And I enjoyed that a lot. It's from the Duffer brothers who gave us Stranger Things and all that. And it's kind of a modern Hammer horror thing. But I could see why some people might think after 2 episodes, I'm not doing this. So I don't think it's very fair to torture your partner, whoever he or she may be, to, you know, I want to watch this, so you have to sit through something you really don't like for another 6 hours. I think once there's agreement, though, going, look, you're going to have to do this on your own time because this is killing me, you know. But I do think, you know, you have to have a conversation about it. It's like exclusivity, you know. Are we exclusive with our TV shows? We need to discuss this in advance.
Ah, no, yeah, you can't be. In our house, it's kind of one half watches Costume Drivers, the other one watches sci-fi. You can guess which one is which in our house. Though, actually, it's been pointed out to me, sci-fi is just costume drama in space. It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, that's a good texter, whoever pointed that out. Or maybe it's one of your erstwhile production team. The other thing, though, is just this all changes then when you occasionally get into family viewing. And I have 3 kids. So occasionally, because I'm very middle class, so I have a big couch, the five of us can sit on it. But occasionally the five of us watch stuff together. And these rules that we've been talking about, they get a lot trickier when there's five of you. And also when some of them are still, you know, 7 and 10 and stuff like that. And those rules are very hard in terms of subtitles, noisy eating, people not being on other devices. It's much more hard to corral five people than one person, you know.
Yeah, indeed. Well, I suppose at the same time, like there are movies that everyone can watch and more or less understand what's going on.
My one for that at the moment that I found over the years, my eldest is 13 and my youngest is 7. A great family movie for us where we're at the moment now in terms of their ages is Back to the Future. Because it's a real sweet spot to find a movie that kids of different ages can watch with their parents that doesn't have stuff that's going to make a 7-year-old, you know more than he should about the ways of the world or whatever. And I think Back to the Future, certainly at my point, is that perfect point on that graph of being entertaining for everyone and not containing, if you skip the fact that he goes back in time and his mother kind of tries to sleep with him. It's all very good and all very family viewing.
But films that old, occasionally, why does nobody have a phone? Why doesn't he just ring up this person on his mobile and then he won't have to do that?
I've had that with all sorts of movies, but for some reason that doesn't seem to happen with Back to the Future. And just to take it right up to present, now it's cinema as opposed to TV, but it will be on a streamer soon. That new Ryan Gosling movie, Project Hail Mary, to me, has that same vibe of anyone could watch this. An adult will get a lot out of it and a kid will get a lot out of it as well. By the by, not that you asked me for that, but I'm happy to give it to you for free, Sean.
All right, no, but I do appreciate that because I haven't seen it and I'm looking forward to
it. Oh, it's terrific. It's terrific. Bring the kids.
Yeah, like the other day, some of my daughters who would be in their 20s were saying to my 10-year-old daughter, "What, you've never seen Hannah Montana?" And then they dragged her in while the two older ones wailed along to all the songs, and my 10-year-old was there rolling her eyes at the old people and the programs they used to like. John, thanks a million as ever.
Thank you.
That's host of Screen Time, John Fardy there. One texter says, a documentary on the BBC the other night, which was based in a Scottish prison, had to switch it off as we could not understand as the accent was so strong. Oh gosh, yeah. And I suppose if it's on the BBC, that's a kind of a tricky one. Would you be, if you started putting up subtitles there, would you be offending a lot of Scottish people? But maybe if you listen to it for a while, you would kind of get used to the accent. When they showed The Commitments in the US, they had to use subtitles on it because the Yanks couldn't understand the accents. Someone else says, I couldn't hear a word of dialogue in the first 30 minutes of one battle after another because of the unnecessarily and extremely annoying background music. I use subtitles. Now, this is a lot of people use subtitles quite legitimately. My mom was deaf and we always used them. I've gotten so used to them that it's weird not to have them. I think it brings me a little comfort too. And now she's gone. Oh, that's kind of sweet. I put on subtitles so the kids are reading. They don't even realise they are. It's not bizarre behaviour to use subtitles with the English language. The problem is that so many actors are mumbling incomprehensibly, says Leo. Again, I use subtitles because the sound is so variable in films and TV shows now. It goes up and down. You constantly have to adjust the volume. So I put subtitles on, problem solved. Loads of people saying the same thing. I wear hearing aids, so subtitles are on for everything. That is why I don't go to the cinema. Oh, wow. So even with the hearing aids, the cinema would be a no-no for you. I started using subtitles when my partner always had something important to say during documentaries, etc., that I was watching. Strangely, she never had anything to say when her programmes were on, says John. Yeah, you'll find that's a universal truth, John.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.